Thanks.
Thanks, Jerry.
All right. If you're not going to be here for the next council items, if you could please make your way to our lovely marble-floored foyer, and we will get on with our agenda, which, can you please read the title for item number 265? Oh, we're well past the time certain. Thank you. Thank God you're here. Huh? Who's here to testify on item 246? Raise your hand. All right.
We're just adopting findings for that.
Yeah. We are, so it'll be quick. All right. Can you please read the title for time certain? Land use issue, item number 246.
Mm-hmm. Uphold appeal of King Neighborhood Association and overturn hearing officer's decision to approve with conditions the application of Portland Playhouse for a conditional use for the community service uses at 602 Northeast Prescott Street, LU 11187799 CU.
And is this simply the adoption of the findings? So what's before us is adoption of the findings based on previous hearings. Unless there's additional council discussion or public testimony. Carla, can you please call the vote?
I think we need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we adopt in final form the previous tentative discussions of the City Council. Can you please call the vote on the motion?
Fritz.
To approve.
Well, thank you for some of the folks from the Playhouse being here today to see this adopted. It is good to have this come to closure in a manner which I think benefits the community and honors the zoning code. Aye.
Fish?
I also want to say I appreciated the sausage making on this. Commissioner Leonard kicked us off. We got sort of into the code trying to figure out the best way to do this. And obviously the goal was to get to the right outcome, but we appreciated the help we got from the King Neighborhood Association, from the attorneys, from all the supporters, and then the good work of my colleagues. We're delighted to be able to get to this day and this outcome. Congratulations. Aye.
Leonard?
So I have not looked forward to these remarks today because I have a deep and abiding respect for the men and women that work at the Bureau of Development Services. Sam Adams knows better than even I. In 2002, when I was appointed the commissioner in charge of the Bureau of Development Services, it was widely observed that it was a dysfunctional organization, that it had become impossible to work through the processes, whether you were a large-scale developer or you wanted to remodel your kitchen. From that time until Commissioner Saltzman was assigned the Bureau about a year ago, less than a year ago, I am proud to tell you that the culture, including some of the top managers, changed about as dramatically as a bureaucratic culture can change from being cloistered, narrow in code interpretation to being thoughtful and problem solvers. And I believe that exists to this day. And nobody up here defends the Bureau of Development Services, its employees, their work, and the challenges they have more than I do. And I have deep affection for not just the Bureau, but the director, Paul Scarlett, who I hired. I think he's one of the most thoughtful, creative, progressive leaders this city has in any of the bureaus. And so with all due respect to the Bureau and to Commissioner Saltzman's office, this should have never arrived at the City Council. This was exactly the kind of thing I worked so hard to make sure that the employees at the Bureau, and if not the employees, my office, had the authority to resolve before it ever reached the City Council. This was a simple code interpretation, and the interpretation was whether or not it was to be clear, that the Old Highland Congregational Mount Sinai Baptist Church was either being used as a commercial retail sales and service outlet, or whether it was a community service use. It is clear, in my view and in my opinion, from reading the record and listening to the testimony that at a staff level at least, but certainly at the commissioner's office, the decision could and should have been made that it was a community service use at that point, and the conditional use permit granted on that basis. We have done dozens of similar kinds of findings in my office. I do not say this to criticize the Bureau. I say this hopefully as part of what I used to say for years and years to people who come and say, thank you for making the permitting process easier. Thank you for all the changes. And I would tell people, it doesn't help to thank me if the Bureau itself hasn't actually adopted this way of business as an easier and more progressive way to do work in the community, because if I leave and it changes, I haven't really accomplished anything. So I have to tell you, I'm a little alarmed that we're voting on this. I'm a little alarmed that this wasn't caught, at least at the commissioner's office. And I'm not saying what I'm saying here for the first time. I had a conversation with the commissioner's office and was disappointed at the reaction that I got. So my hope is that this is a blip and that we get back to what the Bureau does best, which is problem solving and being creative. And I understand and appreciate more now than I did in 2002 that some of these decisions can make people who are making them feel maybe liable, maybe, you know, I'm going beyond what some might interpret the code to say, but what we tried to do and what I believe could have happened here is to make it clear, at least at the manager level, that the Bureau is absolutely empowered to make judgment decisions and weigh the evidence and do the right thing. And in this case, I just have to say that I'm sorry that this came this far and you spent as much time, energy, and money, and that you donated your legal services. Because, again, in my view, it should not have happened. It should have been approved at a much lower level. But having said that, we wouldn't have had the opportunity to hear the wonderful testimony that we did, and it was a wonderful afternoon, but one I hope we don't have to repeat. Aye.
Adams?
Well, thank you for your perseverance. On top of just a great thing that you're doing for Portland. And as you've read, I'm working with others to push forward as a vanguard of our efforts to get true equality and equal access for everyone in Portland, a city based on merit. And I'm a vanguard of that as arts and culture, and you're doing that. So I hope that you will be actively involved in our work putting together that strategy as we move forward. I appreciate that. I hadn't talked to Commissioner Leonard before this and didn't know he was going to say that, but I would underscore what he's saying, that and it isn't meant to any specific case at this point. Maybe this is a blip, but I would underscore that in my time left in office, I'm not going to tolerate any backsliding on the progress that we have made in terms of helping good things happen, helping improvements happen in the city that we support. And I understand there's a lot of interpretation, and we will follow law, state law, but we won't tolerate any backsliding in terms of the reforms that have been achieved under his leadership. During his total redo of the permit system. So with that, congratulations. Aye. All right, that gets us to item number 265.
Authorize the director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to enter into a grant agreement with Tangerine Power Corporation for a total of $100,000 for the development of community-supported solar electric systems in Portland with grant funds from the U.S. Department of Energy.
Mr. Armstrong.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Michael Armstrong. I manage sustainability programs for the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. With me is Andrea Jacob, who oversees our clean energy programs. We are here today with an ordinance to authorize an innovative new initiative to install solar energy We want to take just a minute here to give you an update on the solar program over the last couple of years. That's maybe especially timely given the Willamette Week cover story this morning that makes the point that solar is not the first thing you should do to your home if you're looking to improve its energy performance. And that's a point we would wholeheartedly agree with.
That's the cover story of Willamette Week today?
That is the cover story. Good. And it's a point we would agree with, but we can't let it hide the larger point that solar is a very promising part of our energy future, and the only way we get there is to install solar and see the technologies improve and see the prices come down. And that's what we've been working on. So 5 years ago, the city invested about $100,000 in a program to transform solar, the solar marketplace here in Portland. That investment led to a series of federal grants totaling $600,000 that came to the city to work with our community partners to do this. Over the course of those 5 years, since the city made its first investment, the installed capacity of solar electric systems in town has grown from less than 200 kilowatts to more than 11,000 kilowatts. We didn't do this alone. It's been a strong partnership that Andrea has built that's together with the Energy Trust of Oregon, Solar Oregon, a sort of growing army of contractors, solar installers, neighborhood associations. There's been tremendous leadership from all corners of the community on this. Together, Portland residents and businesses have now installed more than 1,700 systems over the last 5 years. That totals of investment of over $100 million, and that's part of this much larger national and international growth in demand for solar that has led to, you know, the arrival of firms like SolarWorld, SoloPower, and others. So this next piece, we think, builds very nicely on the work that has happened to date. We've made a lot of progress, but there are some big issues still to crack, and Andrew will now describe briefly what's in the ordinance in front of you that's letting us take on a whole new aspect to installing solar. So Andrew Jacob.
Thanks, Michael. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Thank you. As Michael mentioned, I've been managing solar programs at BPS or OSD for about six years.
You have to say your name for the record.
Oh, sorry, Andrea Jacob, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And most of our solar program efforts to date have focused on homeowners and direct ownership of solar. But as we know, many Portlanders rent or have other barriers that prevent them from putting solar on their own roofs. So we've been looking for ways over the past couple of years to expand access to solar to a wider and more diverse audience in Portland. And several other cities and states that we work with closely that have active solar energy programs have experimented with this. And those efforts generally fall under the heading of community solar. And what we mean by community solar is a solar energy system or systems that are developed with contributions from community members that are in much smaller increments or fractions of what it would cost to install a typical residential rooftop system. So as Michael mentioned, we have received funds from the U.S. Department of Energy to work on solar market transformation, and the ordinance that you're considering today would provide some of those funds to develop a model for community solar that works in Portland under our existing legal and regulatory conditions. And the intent is to enable community members to participate in installing solar energy systems in neighborhood schools and on community centers. And the grant agreement that you have before you represents the best idea that emerged from a competitive solicitation process. And we expect that the result of this collaboration with Tangerine Power and its partners will result in a broad opportunity for Portlanders to help fund the installation of multiple solar energy systems on excellent sites in our neighborhoods. Our goal is to add about 60 to 80 more kilowatts of installed capacity, but more importantly, I think the intent is to create a replicable model for community solar and a model for making solar much more accessible and affordable at a neighborhood or district scale.
Questions from council? All right. Anyone wish to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
All right. Carla, can you please call the vote on this emergency ordinance?
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Just note that Tangerine Power was selected through an RFP process, and the reason this is an emergency is the funds must be spent, I guess, by the end of June.
Yes.
Thank you for your excellent presentation. Aye.
Leonard.
Thank you. Aye.
Adams.
Thank you for your excellent ongoing work in the clean technology, clean energy sector. We really appreciate it. It's talked about all over the world. Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for resolution item number 267?
Adopt the National Association for City Transportation Officials Urban Bikeway Design Guide as an official City of Portland Bikeway Design Guide.
So the city's policies related to our planning and maintenance of bikeways was written in 1996, old and outdated. We've learned a lot since then. And then we approved a couple years ago the Bike Master Plan. And we knew as a result of council approval of that document that we needed to redo our guidelines as they relate to urban bikeway design. But we decided instead of just rewriting our own guidelines that we would seek to establish a set of national guidelines for urban bikeway design with our work through the National Association of City Transportation Officials, of which I am vice president. So today we have before City Council their opportunity to consider the Cycling for Cities effort, the Portland bikeway design that we and others, not just our own input, but we and others across the nation help put together. And we will be one of the first or
Possibly the first.
The first city of what we hope are cities across the nation to adopt these guidelines. Roger?
Yes, thank you. My name is Roger Geller. I'm the bicycle coordinator in the Bureau of Transportation. And the mayor really encapsulated the issue well, that we have guidelines from 1996 that have been outdated. We've been on a steep learning curve in terms of bicycle transportation since then. And one of the things that we've recognized is the need for facilities that better address the needs of people interested in riding bikes. And one thing the mayor didn't mention is that it was really under his leadership that we initiated a national effort to capture the bikeway designs that were being implemented by the best practitioners in North America. And this is the hard copy version of the guide. It's really meant to be an online guide, but the fruits of this effort of 18 cities around the country that are implementing and experimenting with some of the best bikeway designs in the country is captured in this book, which is now actually being expanded upon. And as the mayor also noted, we will be the first city to adopt it if we do, and it continues our leadership. Many of the designs in this book were first implemented, or at least first implemented in a large-scale way, in the city of Portland. I think we're one of the few cities that are using all of the designs that are in this book, and this just gives us the ability, it gives our engineers a clear guidance on what's expected for bikeway designs. And really, that's all. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any council discussion? Does anyone wish to testify in this matter?
No one signed up.
Carla, can you please call the vote?
Fritz?
Well, thank you to staff and especially to Mayor Adams for spearheading this development of this national guide. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Thank you, Roger, for all your great work. All right. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance item number 268?
Authorize a competitive solicitation for a bike share vendor and operator.
So this item is a follow-up on earlier council action in use of regional resources. This item gives the procurement services the authority to release an RFP for a private contractor to partner with the city to provide a bike share system in Portland. The bike share systems lets people check out a bicycle to ride from one point in one city to another point in the city for a small fee. These systems have proven popular in dozens of cities around the world by giving residents and visitors a fast, cheap, and easy transportation option. This is the result of a regional flexible funds process that I mentioned we considered in December. PBOT proposes to partner with a private contractor to finance, build, and operate a bike share system for Portland. There are no PDOT GTR funds, no funds that can be used for potholes or maintenance, going directly to the bike share program. PBOT's share of the project is coming from federal transportation funds. We've spent in the bike advocacy world, I have waited, I guess it'll be six, 7 years. I waited six, 7 years. We're not the first, second, or third. We're not the 50th or 60th city to do bike share because I wanted to see the lessons learned before we jumped into providing this service. And the RFP demonstrates sort of the lessons learned in other cities. We've evaluated things closely, what works, what doesn't work. This lays out an approach to bike share in Portland that is fiscally sustainable and socially responsible. PDOT staff have worked closely with Metro staff and members of the transportation equity community to assure that the RFP respondents will address equity issues in their proposal. If Council approves this item today, bike share RFP will be released on Friday, March 16th, and we hope to have an operator lined up by summer to launch with to launch in spring of 2013. Once a respondent is selected, PBOT will negotiate a contract with the selected vendor, and this also includes the private match. That's part of what we're looking for in this RFP. We didn't plan on a presentation because it was only in December that we had this, but I'm happy to answer any questions, and we have staff here to answer any questions. This has to come back to Council for approval once a potential bidder is selected, if they're selected. Any conversation from Council? Does anyone wish to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
Carla, can you please call the vote on the resolution?
Fritz.
Thanks to Catherine Charlo in the Mayor's Office and PBOT staff for working with my staff. This is simply a solicitation for the request for proposals on a privately run bike share program for the city. I thank Dan Bauer for putting together a thoughtful proposal that will require respondents to address my concerns, and these include public safety issues that need to be considered and particularly active education of renters of the bicycles rather than passive posting of notices regarding rules for downtown cycling. I hope that there will be locations found to site the facilities on public or private property outside of the city's right-of-way, as our downtown right-of-ways tend to get quite overcrowded with multiple uses already. I also understand that each applicant must address access to bicycle helmets and to make those available in a manner that is not going to spread lice, but also not require that the renter have their own helmet. And I'm very appreciative of the points in the RFP about provision for equitable opportunities for diverse communities to use the system. I'll be interested in the creative approaches that can be developed in this regard, particularly with respect to not having to have a credit card-only payment system. And I will be interested in who applies, what ideas for public safety and long-term private funding for the project can be developed. Aye.
Fish.
Before I knew anything about bike shares, I knew that it was something the mayor cared passionately about. And once he shared that passion with me and the council, I began to see more evidence of how it's working in other cities. Sam just reminded me that 14 cities currently have a bike share program. When I was last in Washington, D.C., I think I saw a part of their program. And then recently in a national magazine, there was a story about how it's taken off in cities across the country and how municipal government has successfully partnered with the private sector to make this work. So it was very interesting. This is something that would not be to this stage if the mayor had not prioritized it and if we had not done the hard work both at Metro and here. And I know how deeply he cares about this, and I think that for the level of investment, the potential return could be huge for our community. Other cities are experiencing success with it. I think it's time for Portland to get in the queue. So I want to compliment the mayor for his leadership on this, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Leonard? Adams?
Well, the issues of helmet, the other bike operators don't provide helmets, if that's correct, just so we get that issue out early on the table. Is that accurate? There's an opportunity to get a helmet, but they don't necessarily come with every bike as you rent them. And other cities, I believe Washington, D.C. as well, I was reading there, has they work with, for example, the social service providers and with homeless shelters to provide the kinds of access cards that you talked about in terms of providing access. We've got, let's see, it's the highest percentage of folks in the deepest need economically are in the central city. So in terms of density, last I checked, and so this would provide, look forward to working with Commissioner Fish, this could provide the city's only 24-hour, 7-day-a-week transportation access solution after walking. So I'm excited. It won't be easy, but I'm excited about getting the work underway and looking for not only good providers of this service, but also for our private investors. So thank you, Dan, and everyone for your great work on this. Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for and call the vote for item number 269?
Amend the Transportation System Plan, part of the Portland Comprehensive Plan, to include updated street segment classifications, project list descriptions, and project alignments on transportation system improvement maps to implement the land use final order for the Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Project. Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, item number 272?
Authorize a grant agreement with Portland Rose Festival Foundation to support placement of temporary restrooms, additional seating, and related activities along the parade route.
Commissioner Randy Leonard.
Thank you. This is the annual act by the council that authorizes our support of the Rose Festival Foundation in a variety of very specific ways that the executive director, Jeff Curtis, will explain to us. Jeff, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
And do you promise that it's not going to rain the entire 2 weeks of the festival?
I cannot promise that, Commissioner Leonard. I have my order in, which I do every year, and sometimes it's granted and sometimes I have to take it back, just like you're at a restaurant.
Hopefully it's getting it out of its system.
It's getting it out of its system, exactly. I want to just briefly provide a quick history to this action item, in that this was a result from 2007, from the famous duct tape controversy. And really what it came down to wasn't about duct tape, although that's the name it took. It was about access, fair access, and it was about amenities, pride and experience along the route. That was what it was about. And that conversation took place in the winter of 2007 under leadership of Commissioner Leonard and myself as co-chairs. Commissioner Fritz, as a citizens advocate, sat on that, and we came up with some very specific solutions to answer those questions, access and amenities. And that solution was increased porta potties along the route, communication to the public in the form of marketing and advertising of what to do, how to go to the parade, what to do, where to sit. In addition, a third component of that of this program was entertainment along the route, clowns, face painters, an experience opportunity for them in a non-confrontational way. Because that's a conversation we're having as well, is about people protecting their access. And probably the most important element that I'm most proud of is the conversation about providing fair access for people with disabilities. So this particular resource allows us to secure sections along the route on the private side to actually provide guaranteed seating for people who need special needs. So we're able to tell people they can sit outside the convention center or outside the Hilton Hotel, special areas along the route. So all those things didn't exist prior to 2008. And so, and the funding itself has actually been ratcheted down since 2008 as we've gotten more efficient in working on this program. It started at $50,000 and it's ratcheted down to $20,000 in this action. So in summarization, it's really been an important piece. It's working. Complaints are down significantly in the Rose Festival Foundation office, as well as I've been told at the city level. At the same time, our world-class parade is gaining its popularity, and its attendance is growing, and it's a component of why we're a world-class festival and just recently honored as the best festival in the world by IFEA. So I want to thank this council, Commissioner Leonard, for your leadership on this item. Thank you.
Council discussion. Does anyone wish to testify on this matter?
No one else signed up.
Carla, can you please call the vote on this emergency ordinance?
Fritz?
Well, thank you, Commissioner Leonard, for your leadership on this issue over many years. It was probably the most pleasant committee I sat on as a citizen activist, and I think it came to some really good conclusions. And it's
unseemly.
I'll just go on and on if you don't be quiet and let me finish
ahead.
My statement.
No, fine.
Filibuster. This love fest.
Well, some people would call this a pet project or something that's frivolous, and why are we spending $20,000 on the Rose Festival? And my answer is come to the Rose Festival and see the economic benefit that it brings to the city. We've had reports on that in tourism, in hotel stays, in marketing, and in joy. You can't put a dollar price on joy, but $20,000 is a pretty decent price for the spirit of the Rose Festival, which brings us all together, and for 2 weeks or however long it extends both ways. brings us to get, lets us forget some of the struggles of the recession and have a good time and celebrate our great city. So thank you to Jeff for your leadership of this program. And should the voters give me the honor of serving for another 4 years on this council, I commit, Commissioner Leonard, that I will make sure that this program, that I will then carry forward this ordinance every year. Aye.
Fish?
I may have to rethink something, actually, based on that. I can't resist saying that, Jeff, you've done a marvelous job as executive director. And it's been a pleasure to work with you. And I've had the honor since I was elected to march or ride in a vehicle in a number of the parades. And probably the highlight for me, which I'm very proud to share with my colleagues, was the parade where I was invited and we were marching. We came up and we were making the turn onto Broadway. And there was a huge crowd greeting the electeds as they came through. And the announcer very graciously said in a very loud voice, "Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Commissioner Randy Leonard." And I, you know, where do you go from there? I mean, that's
you waved,
I hope. That's a high point.
Tomatoes?
Down. I think it's only down from there.
I'm not sure whether I waved or I ducked, but it was a highlight. But, you know, Randy's taken over this assignment, the request of the mayor, and Jeff, you've been an amazing partner. And there's going to be some changes at council looking forward in the next year or two, but there will not be a change in our commitment to help you be successful. And we thank you for all you do for our community. Aye.
Leonard?
Honestly, those two comments by Commissioner Fritz and Fish are heartening to me because I had been the liaison since I've arrived at council. It just didn't take on any kind of a profile until the whole duck tick thing happened. And from then till now, it's actually been my most, if not challenging, but a fun assignment. I mean, we've had Curtis Salgado for the last 3 years, I think, kick off under your leadership the Rose Festival on the waterfront, and it's just been really a heartening experience to see the attendance grow, to see your recognition grow, to hear people say, "I really enjoy going to the Rose Festival parade now, and I didn't used to go," has been great. And you have really made that happen, Jeff, and I've enjoyed very much working with you. And sounds like we have successors in line, so that's great. Aye.
Adams.
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard, for devoting the time, energy, and enthusiasm, the leadership on this task, and you share in the credit of a revived Rose Festival. Jeff, fantastic. On behalf of a grateful city, great work. Happy to approve this. Aye. We are now recessed for the week.